This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of From a Woman's Perspective with Marilyn Weston, heard every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Good morning. Happy Saturday, November the 1st. I am Marilyn West, and this is Zoomer Radio, and you're definitely going to get it straight from a woman's perspective this hour. Today, it's the first Saturday of the month, and that means it's Play Outside Day. A day to encourage us to enjoy the great outdoors, to connect with nature, and to benefit from a little fresh air and physical activities. I don't have to list activities for us to pursue because common sense should be guiding us. It's not always so simple, though. And that's why this coming Tuesday, Use Your Common Sense Day, is a good time to stop and think about what common sense really is. And today is a day to help prepare ourselves to understand common sense, to use it wisely, starting this Tuesday, if not before. Voltaire once said, "Common sense is not so common," and he was right. What seems obvious to one person may not make any sense at all to another. Our idea of common sense often depends on how we were raised, the culture we come from, and the experiences that shaped us. That brings to mind my parents, Pola and Oscar. They always wore slippers at home. Their house had a little 8-inch window beside the front door, and when I went to visit, I didn't even have to knock. I could peek through that small window and see right into the vestibule. If their shoes were on the little rug, I knew that they were home, but if their slippers were there, it meant they were out. One snowy, wet evening, my parents hosted a visitor from abroad, a sales representative from a country where people don't remove their shoes indoors. He arrived, he wiped his feet carefully at the door, and walked right through the vestibule into the hall. And I could see my mother's face. She was shocked and surprised that he hadn't taken off his shoes. For her and my dad, especially in bad weather, it was simply common sense to remove your shoes before walking through anyone's house. But for their guest, wiping his feet was polite and proper. Taking off your shoes indoors just wasn't part of his upbringing or culture. That small moment taught me a big lesson. What seems natural and right to one person may be the exact opposite for someone else. Our common sense is really a reflection of our background, our values, and the lens through which we see our world. It's easy to assume that everyone sees things the way we do. But that's rarely true. Saying it's just common sense often means we're expressing an expectation that others may not share. According to a recent study, nearly 60% of people believe common sense is universal. Yet fewer than 25% could agree on what actually counts as common sense when they were faced with the same situation. So maybe the real common sense is recognizing that we don't all think alike. Instead of jumping to conclusions, it helps to ask questions, to listen, and to try to see things through someone else's eyes. When we're open-minded and curious, we grow in our understanding. Benjamin Franklin wisely said, "Experience keeps a dear school, but fools will learn in no other." In other words, life's lessons, including our mistakes, are what teaches us practical wisdom. Common sense doesn't just arrive with age or education. It develops through thinking things through reflection. Each time we pause, consider alternatives, and learn from experience, then we sharpen our judgment. And the more we read, the more we ask questions, observe, and listen, the wiser and more grounded we can become. Experience really is a good teacher. In today's world, if we don't call it common sense, we might use another expression, street smarts. And that's really what it comes down to, living, learning, and applying what we know so that our common sense keeps evolving. It's up to each of us to live well, to learn our lessons, and to stay alert to the situations we find ourselves in. Using common sense helps us adapt. It sharpens our judgment and our instincts and even our ability to survive. In fact, some scientists say that what we now call common sense has deep roots in our biology. Our earliest ancestors had to rely on quick instinctive judgments to stay alive. They had to spot danger, avoid threats, and react quickly. That built-in caution is part of the reason that we're here today. But those same survival instincts can also create bias. We sometimes react negatively or make snap judgments about things that feel unfamiliar, not because we mean harm, but because we're wired to protect ourselves. Recognizing that bias is the first step towards growing beyond it. So if we stay calm and curious and open-minded instead of impulsive and defensive, we can transform that ancient instinct into something more powerful, practical wisdom. We can use our common sense. And using our common sense isn't just about reacting, it's about thinking, about reflecting, about taking time to pause long enough to see things clearly, to learn from our mistakes and apply our knowledge with empathy and with understanding. When we do that, we strengthen not only our minds, but our communities, because true common sense isn't only personal, it's shared. It grows when we listen, when we learn, and when we connect with others. So as Use Your Common Sense Day approaches this Tuesday, let's remember that common sense isn't just what we know. It's how we can grow and grow together. Coming up, we'll learn from our Woman's Perspective team of experts who are going to share their common sense advice. We're going to get health tips from Dr. Betty Rosendahl of Thornhill Naturopathic, Dr. Vivian Brown, author of The New Woman's Guide to Healthy Aging, Christine, the health coach. We'll talk hearing with Edmund Ivazian of Hearing Aid Source Centers of Toronto, and we'll learn about dental care at home from Suzanne Salga of Denture Ready. Our Cupid, Linda Miller, will talk relationships, and we're going to get smart realty solutions from Sharon Parenteau. Yes, I'll be your wardrobe doctor, and after one important message about organ donation, we'll learn how to plan for our future when we speak to Kevin Giffen of Full Circle Financial. And at the end of the hour, we're going to learn more about how to hone our common sense. So stay with me, Marilyn Weston, and your team, and get it straight from a woman's perspective, right here, right now, on Zoomer Radio.
Every 3 days, someone in Ontario dies waiting for an organ transplant. You can make a difference. Become a registered organ and tissue donor today, online at beadonor.ca. One donor can save up to 8 lives.
Today's guests in conversation with Marilyn Weston are proud sponsors of From a Woman's Perspective. To reach Marilyn and her guests, visit her website, marilyns.ca, or call 416-504-6777.
Now, to help us plan for our financial well-being, Kevin Giffen of Full Circle Financial is here. Good morning, Kevin. I hope you brought some common sense with you, because that's what this show's about today.
I am the repository for common sense, I'm telling you. Good morning, everyone. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend. It's funny when we talk about common sense, I immediately go to what isn't common sense. And worrying about finances when making important life decisions is often useless. People's worries come from irrational thinking about their finances, not from poor finances themselves. And most importantly, a change in thinking can help someone make better choices for themselves. And so here's where common sense comes in play. To practice common sense in financial planning, it's essential to adopt a proactive approach to managing your finances. So here are some strategies that can help you avoid common financial pitfalls. First and foremost, establish a budget. It's not that difficult. Track your income expenses to understand where your money goes and identify areas for potential savings. There's apps out there. I think I see on the Rocket app where it can track your subscriptions and stuff like that. You can go into your bank account and over, a quarter, we're all paying with debit cards and credit cards. Very few of us carry cash anymore. So you have an ongoing record of what goes in and what comes out. It's pretty easy to just put together a little spreadsheet and say, here's what we're spending on food, here's what we're spending on utilities, here's what we're spending on car and gas and what have you, and at least track it so that you at least know what you're spending. Try and create an emergency fund. Keep a portion of your income aside to cover unexpected expenses like medical bills or car repairs, or have a reliable source of emergency funds which you can access. While I'm not a big fan of unnecessary debt, if you've got a house or you've got some assets, you can create a line of credit backed up by those assets. Small amount, just so that you've got ready access to money if you need it. Invest wisely. Avoid the get-rich-quick schemes and invest in assets that align with your financial goals, which implies that you know what your financial goals are. I've said too often, account by understanding what your money needs to achieve in the way of a rate of return helps you craft a portfolio that reflects your needs and not the market performance. Get out of the market performance and understand your money from the perspective of you and what it needs to do for you, so that money isn't an emotional scorecard of how up and down it's going on any given day, but rather a tool that gets you to an end goal. If you haven't got a financial planner, seek professional guidance. Consult with a financial advisor to gain insights and strategies tailored to your financial situation. Every successful professional athlete has a coach. Every successful entrepreneur has a team of advisors or a mentor that helps them navigate both the complexities of the world and maybe more importantly, their emotions. Maybe practice mindfulness. Regularly review your financial situation and make informed decisions based on your current circumstances. I started out by alluding to mindfulness in my last points regards mindfulness. Why? So many mistakes that I've witnessed haven't come from market gyrations or lack of intelligence. They have stemmed from emotional mistakes. Frequently, the biggest challenge I have is due to clients who are emotionally paralyzed. They don't like their current circumstances yet can't allow change to unburden them. Last week, I spoke of a client who, once they embraced not owning a home, their financial possibilities sprang out like a wellspring of refreshing possibilities. Conversely, I spoke with Ruth yesterday, who is paralyzed by a job she hates and a life that is joyless. And I mean that seriously. The woman was in tears. My heart aches for her, yet she can't bear to let go and allow us to unburden her. We'll get her to a place of possibilities. I know we will. She just has to let go. There's a better way, a better place for her. We just need to get her thinking objectively, because from objectivity comes rational, common sense thinking. Have a great weekend, everyone.
I'm not letting you run away so quickly, Kevin. You're offering to be a financial coach, and you've given us some very good pointers on how we can use our common sense. Anyone listening, if you're thinking about investing money and somebody tells you, run there, you can do this and you can quadruple your money. If it sounds too good to be true, it likely isn't, but the best way to have a safety check is to call your financial planner. And if you want a second opinion and you want to perhaps investigate what Kevin Giffen has to say, then give him a call. His number is 416-708-6229. That's 416-708-6229. it's important to make good decisions and have the guide of a financial coach. And Kevin Giffen can be yours. And Kevin, you have a wonderful email if somebody wants to contact you that way. What is it?
ineedhelp@fullcirclefinancial.ca.
I need help at fullcirclefinancial.ca or call Kevin directly at 416-708-6229. It makes common sense to be proactive and avoid pitfalls, and you can have an expert guide you. Kevin, thank you, and I look forward to speaking to you next week.
Thank you, Marilyn, and have a great weekend, everyone.
The Aerolux Folding Power Chair. How do you improve on great? By introducing Aerolux 2C. Next level comfort. Aerolux 2C has an adjustable footrest for shorter long legs. A seating width of 18 inches. Ergonomic backrest so you can ride all day. Yet it's ultra lightweight. Anyone can lift it and stow it away. Arrange a test ride. Call Marilyn Weston at 416-546-1000. Great? Meet greater. Aerolux 2C. New from Travel Buggy.
Now, Dr. Betty Rosendahl of Thornhill Naturopathic Health Clinic joins us with her weekly tip. Good morning, Dr. Betty.
Good morning, Marilyn. So many of my patients come in to talk about sleep issues, and sleep is a big topic. And certainly one of the main issues people come in to see me is they're waking up in the middle of the night, sometimes waking up between 2 to 4 o'clock, and they might be wide awake or restless. And this could be exhausting, certainly week after week, and patients can lie there feeling wired or anxious or really just simply unable to fall back to sleep. And unfortunately, that can drag through our day. Some patients will crave sugar, they might feel foggy or really emotionally afraid. And there's many reasons that can happen. In fact, I'm going to talk about three main reasons why we're waking up in the middle of the night. The liver is really important for that for our sleep. The liver is a metabolic powerhouse, and it has its own circadian rhythm. And between roughly 1 to 3 o'clock, it's processing toxins, it's managing our hormones, and it's really fine-tuning our internal chemistry. So if the liver is overwhelmed, for example, due to fatty buildup or toxin exposure or even poor nighttime eating patterns or even shift work, it can really disrupt our sleep. And research shows that patients with more fragmented sleep and less efficient rest and frequent wakings can really lower their health, for example, over time. And other research suggests that chronic sleep deprivation can actually reprogram the liver gene expression, and that's tied to circadian rhythm and metabolism. So what that means is when the liver's rhythm is off, our body's rhythm gets off, and we can wake up in the middle of the night. The second aspect is our blood sugar. So if our body, for example, has a lot of instability in our blood sugar, that can cause us to wake in the middle of the night. So our body is tightly controlled overnight, for example, with our glycemic system. And hypoglycemia, for example, can wake us up in the middle of the night. So if our blood sugar crashes, for example, in the middle of our sleep, maybe we skip dinner or have more poor metabolic flexibility, our body can jolt us awake by releasing these survival hormones like adrenaline and glucagon, and sometimes we can wake up sweating with heart palpitations. So that can happen especially if our glucose drops in the middle of the night. Sometimes what happens is our body releases hormones, for example, between 2 and 4, and it signals the liver to release glucose. So in people with normal insulin, this is normally balanced, but those, for example, with insulin resistance or type 2 diabetes, it can cause a spike and even a subtle morning wakefulness. So certainly with those patients with these kinds of early morning wakings, we definitely want to check, for example, the hormones, the blood sugar levels, and even their stress hormones. For example, cortisol is a stress hormone, and good sleep relies on our stress response and our circadian rhythms being in sync. So typically we think of cortisol, that's that stress hormone, it's lowest around midnight and it rises slowly during the night. And it really peaks in the morning to help us wake up. But for example, chronic stress, even late night stimulation or shift work sometimes can cause cortisol spikes in the middle of the night. So like I said, from a naturopathic perspective, testing can be very helpful and really getting to the root cause of some of this early morning waking. Sometimes people rely on medications, but really naturopathically we really want to try to find what's really going on with that individual to see if we can help them sleep more soundly throughout the course of the night. So if people have any questions, they want to get some more information. Next week, I'm going to talk about some practical strategies for supporting deep sleep. Certainly, they can give me a call at 905-707-2001, and my website is thornhillnaturopathic.ca.
Thank you, Dr. Betty, and I look forward to hearing part two of how we get a good night's sleep.
Thank you so much, Marilyn.
Are you a believer? Convinced there's a correlation between our environment and your health? Then yes, you should believe in naturopathic medicine as a genuine alternative. Visit thornhillnaturopathic.ca and book a free 15-minute consultation with Dr. Betty Rosendahl, ND.
It makes sense to look after ourselves. It's common sense to look after the only pair of ears we have. And to help us with that, we have Edmund Ivazian of Hearing Aid Source Centres of Toronto. Good morning, Edmund.
Good morning, Marilyn. You know, it's funny how the phrase common sense feels more like a wishful thinking these days. We all believe we've got plenty of it until we realize we've been driving around for weeks with the check engine light on or using subtitles on every show because the actors are just mumbling now. Common sense says when something isn't working right, you fix it. But when it comes to hearing, logic seems to vanish. We'll ignore the signs, the missed punchlines, the half-heard conversations, the moments where we smile and nod just to keep the peace. We turn up the volume, avoid noisy restaurants, or even blame our loved ones for mumbling, like it's common sense that's taken a coffee break right when we need it most. The truth is, hearing loss doesn't just sneak up on your ears. It sneaks up on your relationships, your confidence, and your connection to the world around you. And common sense, real, everyday, practical sense, says the sooner you do something about it, the easier it is to fix. At Hearing Aid Source, we see it all the time. People come in after struggling for years, thinking hearing aids won't work for me or aren't worth it. Then we show them what's possible when the right device is fit properly, how much clarity and life they get back. And they always say the same thing. I should have done this sooner. So this Common Sense Day, let's bring that good old-fashioned logic back. If you're turning things up louder, asking people to repeat themselves, or feeling like the world's gotten a little quieter, take the sensible step. Get your hearing tested. It's simple, it's comfortable, and it could completely change how you experience your day-to-day life. At Hearing Aid Source, we help people find the right solution without the overwhelm. Just honest advice, clear answers, and real results. Because when you think about it, hearing well isn't rocket science. It's just common sense.
Edmund, thank you for all that good common sense advice. And if your hearing aid is broken or your hearing isn't working properly, remember, if it's broken, it can be fixed. All you have to do is give Edmund Ivazian and Hearing Aid Source Centres a call. The number 416-754-4327. That's 416-754-4327. Thank you, Edmund. We'll speak again next week.
My pleasure, Marilyn.
Now, to explain why a human matchmaker works better than the internet, we have Cupid matchmaker Linda Miller of Misty River Introductions. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marilyn. So it's a question I probably get every day. Why should I join Misty River instead of just continuing on the apps? And of course, obviously, they're on the phone with me because they're sick to death of the apps or the websites by the time they come to me. But it's still a good question. So what's the difference? And I think one of the main differences is we're doing the due diligence on these people for you. So we demand accountability. We want to make sure that you have ID. So your ID matches your name. It matches where you live. It's government issued ID. We want to make sure that you're a Canadian citizen. Do you live where you say you live? Do you work where you say you work? What is your income? Do you own your own home? If somebody says to me, well, you know, I'm a venture capitalist in Toronto, and there's absolutely no evidence online of your name or what you do, I can tell you that you're not a venture capitalist in Toronto. So I'm doing the kind of investigation that you'd like to be doing, or you wish you had the time or the resources to do. So that's one of the good things about joining a matchmaking service. The other thing is, I don't know about most people, but for me, when I was dating, I had lots of things I liked to do besides date. I wanted to curl in the evenings, or I wanted to play pickleball, or I wanted to visit my friends or see my family. The last thing I wanted to do was spend 3 or 4 hours on an app only to have the person I'd be speaking to all night disappear just like that. So instead of taking hours, wasting hours on internet, on phone apps, what you're having is you're having somebody spend the time, find the people that meet your criteria for you, and doing all the work. So all you do is call in once a week to hear who we've matched you with. And that person is usually somebody that meets many or most of your criteria. And so it wastes a lot less time. As well, you're working with a team of professional matchmakers, people who've spent years doing this for a living. They have a vested interest in finding someone who's going to be a good match for you.
So it's about meeting the right person. And basically, you're saying, Linda, that you and your team do the work so we can play and play with people who are likely someone we want to spend time with. If anyone wants to find out more about matchmaking and have a conversation with you, how do we reach you?
So the best thing to do is give our office a call at 1-877-334-9041. That's 1-877-334-9041. Or go on our website, mistyriverintros.com. There's a wealth of information on there, as well as there's an app for booking an appointment with us. So it'll tell you when we have appointment times available, and you can book it at your schedule. So you'll know when you have free time and you can talk for an hour with us, because it does take an hour to do a preliminary interview. And that's the first step in getting started.
So if you're ready to meet someone new and you're not quite sure how to go about it, you can be sure that you'll get the right direction when you speak with our Cupid, Linda Miller of Misty River Introductions. The number again, 1-877-334-9041. That's 1-877-334-9041. Thanks, Linda, and we'll speak again next week.
Thanks, Marilyn.
Linda Miller's experienced team of matchmakers meets and interviews each of her 10,000 clients. Not only does Misty River Introductions find and connect you with someone you have real chemistry with and are attracted to, they also coach you on how to turn that connection into a healthy, loving relationship. Book a free consultation at mistyriverintros.com.
It makes common sense to look after yourself so you can be able to look after others if they need you. And to help us here with our dental health, we have Suzanne Salga of Denture Ready. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning, Marilyn. I want to take a couple of minutes to talk about how to enjoy life with dentures and how to just your overall health that plays a big role in that journey. And when you first get dentures, it's normal to feel a bit unsure. Your gums and your muscles are learning something new. And dentures take time to adapt. And once they settle in, then you start feeling that secure fit, then your confidence grows right along with it. So start slow and gentle, and then choose soft foods like soups and scrambled eggs, mashed potatoes, yogurt, soft fruits, such as bananas and peaches, and soft proteins, such as tofu, tender chicken. And these are all good choices, too. As for your comfort that improves, you can slowly work your way back to firmer foods by cutting them smaller and chewing evenly on both sides of the denture. And you try to avoid sticky foods, such as any hard or overall hot foods at first, and they make the denture shift or irritate your gums. And here's something that often is overlooked. keep an eye on your nutrition and overall health, because essentially dentures are made so that you can chew and have an increase in your quality of life. And when people start wearing dentures, sometimes they eat less or skip meals because chewing feels different. But maintaining a healthy diet and stable weight helps your gums get stronger and your facial muscles supported and your metabolism steady, all of which help your dentures fit and feel better long term. So I have a patient, we'll call her Jane, and not just about her dentures, but about trusting the process. And she said, "Suzanne, I feel like I'm never going to get used to these." Eating had become frustrating, and when she was losing confidence in her smile, we took things to, you know, another step. And we said, just take it step by step, and we guided her through. I reminded her about adapting to dentures. It's like learning a new rhythm. It takes patience and support. And then together, we made small adjustments, both in her dentures and her eating habits. She started with soft meals, practicing chewing evenly, and stayed in touch so we could make any needed changes. Each visit, she became a little bit more confident. We talked about how her gums are adapting and how to protect them, how to keep her nutrition balanced so she can maintain her strength and health. Over time, those little steps added up. About 6 weeks later, Jane told me she went out to dinner with friends and had something that she hasn't done before, and she ordered grilled fish and soft vegetables, and she said, "Suzanne, I feel like myself again." And that touched me. Most of what she said, "You helped me trust that there is still people who care and who take the time to guide you through." That's exactly what I want for every person I meet, that sense of comfort and trust that someone's walking beside you, not just treating you. And if you're listening right now and you live in a facility or you have a family member who does, please know Denture Ready, we can come to you and we can offer you the best care that you need and the dignity that you deserve.
So dental work at home, it makes common sense to listen to the experts. And when it comes to our teeth and dentures, there's no one better than Suzanne Selga. Her number is 647-204-4478. That's 647-204-4478. Suzanne, thank you. And thank you for sharing Jane's story. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Suzanne Selga, she makes house calls, a licensed mobile denturist. Suzanne brings relief to denture wearers across Southern Ontario whose biggest challenge is leaving home. Call Suzanne Selga, Compassionate Denture Care, wherever you are, 647-204-4478.
Now, women's health expert, award-winning family physician, one of Canada's top Women of Influence Award recipients, and the author of the best-selling book, The New Woman's Guide to Healthy Aging, Dr. Vivian Brown is here. Good morning, Dr. Brown.
Good morning, Marilyn. Nice to speak with you again. Today, I wanted to talk about exercise, but I wanted to make it very simple. And the simplest exercise that I know is walking. And we know, physicians know, that walking is grossly underappreciated because walking in and of itself is a really fantastic exercise. And I'm going to tell you five things that walking does that really helps your health. Number one, it counteracts the effect of weight-promoting genes. What research has shown is that individuals with a genetic predisposition to obesity who walk an hour a day reduce their risk of obesity by 50%. That is huge, and that's not using any drugs whatsoever. Second thing walking does is we know it lowers your risk of cancers, in particularly breast cancer and colorectal cancer. Third thing it does is it helps us control our blood sugar. When you walk for just 15 minutes after a meal, you reduce the risk of insulin resistance by about 30%. So get off the couch, go out for a walk. It's really going to help you. The fourth thing that walking does is it eases joint pain, and it increases the lubrication of joints and the restoration of synovial fluid. So the more you do, the more you'll be able to do. And the final thing that walking does is it boosts your immune function. So My feeling is that everybody should be walking, if they can, at least 30 minutes a day. That may be 2 15-minute episodes after lunch and after dinner. Maybe you're going to walk your dog, and if your dog walks and doesn't stop every minute, that's going to be good for your health. But we want you walking, and we want you walking fast enough so you're a little bit short of breath and a little bit sweaty. This is not window shopping. This is walking to get your heart rate up and get all of those good things happening in your body, controlling your blood sugar, reducing your risk of cancer, decreasing the effect of weight-promoting genes, easing joint pain, and boosting your immune function. So get out there, and I'll see you there.
Well, I walk a lot, and thank you for that advice. We've listened and we've heard how walking helps our health. And if you want to learn more about healthy aging, remember Dr. Brown's book, The New Woman's Guide to Healthy Aging. You'll get useful advice in clear language. It's available in most bookstores, or you can ask for it. It's available on Amazon. You can log on to drvivianbrown.com. And if you want to sign copy for a special gift, you're welcome to call me, Marilyn Weston, at 416-504-6777. Thanks, Dr. Brown. I look forward to learning more from you next week.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Now, our downsizing realtor, Sharon Parenteau, joins us with her smart realty solutions. Good morning, Sharon. What have you been up to?
Well, good morning, Marilyn. Last week, I had the pleasure of guiding a dozen downsizing seniors through four distinct condo markets. Across all our stops, we toured more than two dozen suites, ranging from sleek new builds to established, character-filled residences. One of the first things our group noticed was how different the feel of older condos were versus new condos. Newer buildings dazzled with sparkling lobbies, high ceilings, and extensive amenity lists. Everything from yoga studios to dog washing stations and golf simulators. They impress as turnkey, low-maintenance options that align with modern tastes and lifestyles. Older complexes, however, offered something equally appealing, space and substance. Many were set amid lush gardens and mature trees with units that felt more like bungalows in the sky. The takeaway was style and modernity draw the eye, but warmth, space, and community often tug at the heart. Second evaluation from them relating to lifestyle and practical considerations. These tours prompted seniors to think deeply about how they wanted to live in the next chapter. Amenities like pools and gym and all of these things were appreciated, but some participants admitted they might not use them as often as they imagined. Ease of access, parking convenience, and nearby shops or transit turned out to be just as important as on-site luxuries. The takeaway for them was that the right condo isn't just about a floor plan, but it's about how the environment fits their lifestyle rhythm. The third takeaway related to the financial comfort zone. The financial comparisons between older and new condos offered some surprising insights. Newer condos tended to have lower monthly maintenance fees, though these typically only included partial utilities. The trade-off is that the owners in new buildings can expect more stability in their fees over the short to medium term, since major systems and equipment are still under warranty and large capital replacements are still years away. Older buildings, on the other hand, often had all-inclusive maintenance fees that covered heat, hydro, water, simplifying the budgeting, but sometimes making the monthly total appear higher at first. Many also carried the added benefit of lower property taxes, given their established valuations. Participants really appreciated seeing how these factors balanced out in real terms, helping them identify where the true financial comfort zone might lie for them. The takeaway is understanding what's included and where the costs are likely to change, helping buyers feel more confident and make long-term decisions that match their lifestyle and their budget. And perhaps the most important takeaway was when participants asked themselves, am I ready for this? For some, the tours confirmed that condo living felt like the perfect next step, freeing them up from yard work and stairs and offering a sense of community, while others realized they still had an emotional attachment to their current homes and weren't quite ready to downsize yet. The takeaway here is that the time to downsize isn't based on the calendar. It's when your heart and your head agree. Final reflections here, folks. Our condo tours aren't just about viewing real estate. It was about envisioning a new possibility. And if you've been wondering whether condo living might fit your next chapter, why not explore it firsthand? Join me for an upcoming downsizing discovery tour where we'll visit a curated selection of suites and neighborhoods designed just for you. You can reach out today to me, Sharon, at 416-460-5636 or drop a line at our website, smartrealtysolution.com. That's it for me, Marilyn. These have been your Smart Realty Solutions for today.
So anyone interested in exploring the world of condos, Sharon Parenteau can be your GPS. Just call her at 416-460-5636. That's 416-460-5636. Thanks, Sharon. Look forward to exploring more next week.
Thank you.
We are all beings of meaning and community. We provide care at home, hospital, retirement, and long-term care homes. We focus on the social by providing free programs online or in person. Visit us at mosaichomecare.com.
Now, I'm Marilyn Weston, your wardrobe doctor. Each and every one of us has our own built-in thermometer. Some of us like it hot, others like it cooler, and each of us has our own comfort zone. It's just common sense to dress for our personal thermostat. Science tells us that our bodies regulate temperature differently depending on things like our age, our hormones, and our metabolism. And some studies even show that people's comfort range can differ by as much as 5 to 7 degrees. But we don't need research to prove what we already know from our daily life. Throughout the years in my shop, Marilyn's on Spadina, there was a constant war at the thermostat. One person would turn it up a notch or two, even three, to make it warmer. And someone else would turn it down to cool things off again. Before long, I'd be freezing and walking around with a shawl or a cardigan, trying to stay comfortable while everyone else seemed perfectly fine. My tolerance for cool was clearly very different from everyone else's there. That same lesson came to life with two of my clients. They were twin sisters, Alyssa and Frida. They came to me after moving from a land of sunshine to settle here in Canada. They both worked in an office and wanted wardrobes suitable for our Canadian winter. Alyssa was always overheating and preferred lighter layers in a cooler room, while her twin, Frida, shivered whenever the temperature dipped below 72. They were the same size, but their comfort zones couldn't have been more different. All they had were bright colored clothes from home, beautiful, but not quite right for the Canadian office or a winter weather. Rather than just cover them up in bulky coats and heavy sweaters, I built them two personalized wardrobes. I used some of their vibrant colored batik tops to keep their heritage alive and added pieces that worked for the season and the workplace. For Alyssa, we focused on lightweight fabrics that breathed and layered easily. For Frida, I added cozy knits, warm cardigans, and scarves to help trap the warmth without sacrificing her personal style. Both learned that comfort and self-expression can go hand in hand. And that's really the point. Building a wardrobe that keeps us comfortable while staying true to who we are is important. In fact, I think it's essential. A few common sense strategies make all the difference. We can layer to give ourselves flexibility when the temperatures go up and down. We can choose breathable four-season fabrics, and then we can stay comfortable year-round. We can add or remove a scarf or a shawl or a light sweater and instantly learn how to adjust and keep ourselves comfortable. Whatever our style, comfort should always come first, because when we feel good, we look good. And the best wardrobes reflect both our personality and our practicality. Sometimes, though, we're also responsible for others, and our common sense must guide us there, too. When my son was a baby, I took him to his first pediatrician visit, and it was a hot summer day, about 80 degrees. I was dressed in shorts and a little t-shirt, but my mother-in-law had insisted I wrap my son so tightly that all I could see were his eyes, and by the time we arrived, he was sweating. My pediatrician smiled kindly at me, and he told me something that guided me and that I've never forgotten. He said, "Dress your child the same way you dress yourself for the weather and the setting. He's a person, and if he's uncomfortable, he's going to let you know." That simple advice has stayed with me, and it applies not just to children, but to anyone we look after. Whether it's a loved one who's aging, recovering, or unable to speak for themselves, we need to remember that they too have their own thermostats. Using our common sense means dressing them according to their comfort, not ours. Common sense is an asset, whether we're using it to dress ourselves or others. It makes sense to gauge what we wear by the temperature, the setting, and each individual's comfort zone. As Marilyn Monroe once said, "Give a girl the right shoes and she can conquer the world." And I can add to that, give anyone the right clothes for their comfort zone and they can feel comfortable and confident anywhere. You can learn from the experience of others too. I've written short stories in my book, Marilyn Weston, The Wardrobe Doctor, More Than Just Fashion. I share many stories that help people walk a mile in someone else's shoes, and literally and figuratively, so they can gain common sense when they dress and always look and feel their best wherever they find themselves. You can order a personally signed copy of my book by calling me directly at 416-504-6777. And if you like, we can even chat one-on-one and I'll be your wardrobe doctor. And I'll help you dress for your lifestyle and your comfort zone. The book will cost you just $20 and shipping will be free. In a moment, I'll return as Marilyn Weston, your host. And we'll talk with Christine, the health coach, and Daniel Wiskin of Greater Toronto Accessibility. And then I'll close the show with some practical tips on how to develop and grow our common sense. So stay with me, Marilyn Weston, and get it straight from a woman's perspective right here, right now on Zoomer Radio.
Before you can claim the new Canada Disability Benefit, you must first apply for the Disability Tax Credit. Does your medical condition make you eligible? We know the answer. Disability Tax Results. Here to help you get the tax credits you deserve. Call us for details. 519-265-3145.
Now, our weekly tip from Christine, the health coach. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, Marilyn. Protecting your bones. Exercise plays a dual role in fighting the effects of osteoporosis. First, it can help preserve the bone strength you still have. Second, it improves coordination and balance, which can prevent the falls that could lead to a fracture. A study by Harvard researchers found that women who walked more than 4 hours per week had a lower risk of hip fractures than women who walked less than 1 hour per week. While exercise like diet can't rebuild bone to the extent that medicine can, it can contribute to small increases in the bone density. However, bone density is not the only reason to work out. Regular exercise also lessens your chance of getting heart disease, lowers blood pressure, helps prevent diabetes, reduces the risk for colon cancer, breast cancer, improves mood, and adds years to your life. If these health benefits came in a pill, people would be clamoring for a prescription. So now is the time to take action and get yourself started on a proper exercise and nutritional program. So for a private consultation, complimentary, call me at 416-809-4084 or visit my website, ChristineTheHealthCoach.com.
One call to Christine gets you started. The number 416-809-4084. And Christine, I have to tell you, I had a bone density test and the person told me that my bones were like those of a teenager. And that's thanks to you because I've been working out with you for many years now.
Way to go, Marilyn. You're at the top of the list.
Thank you. We'll talk again next week.
Today's guests in conversation with Marilyn Whetston are proud sponsors of From a Woman's Perspective. To reach Marilyn and her guests, visit her website, marilyns.ca, or call 416-504-6777.
Now, Daniel Wiskin of Greater Toronto Accessibility is here. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Marilyn. I have a couple questions for the listeners today. Have you ever stepped outside your shower and thought, one wrong move and this could go bad fast? Or you have stepped outside the shower and almost slipped and fell but got lucky? The truth is, accessibility upgrades aren't just for seniors or people with mobility issues. They're for everyone who wants a safer, more comfortable, and more modern home. At my company, Greater Toronto Accessibility, we believe accessibility is about freedom and style, not limitations. We want to open up the doors to blending safe solutions with modern style. Imagine finally saying goodbye to that bathtub that has been a nightmare to step over and saying hello to a beautiful, non-step walk-in shower with elegant and safe designer grab bars, with sleek glass doors and shower controls right at your fingertips. So you don't have to bend over to turn on the water and put the added pressure on your back and joints. Greater Toronto Accessibility is all about taking a proactive approach. We want to remove the hazards and barriers so you can be the safest you've ever been in your home without ever saying that you wish you would have done it sooner. Our company does it right the first time, and we think of the best solutions catered to you and your budget so we can future-proof your home. We have 14 years of experience, and we would be thrilled for the opportunity to assess your home and see how we can help you stay safe in your home you love the most. Now is the perfect time to start planning for your bathroom renovation or making your home more accessible in any space. I offer an assessment called the Forever Home Safety Check. We assess the home in spaces you are most concerned about. During this visit, you'll get to learn what all the possibilities are in renovating your space. You can find out if you were thinking it's doable or it's not doable. The best part is you get a written report and you can implement these changes when the time is right for you. There's no pressure or obligation to get the job done right away. It's at your own convenience. I simply call this a roadmap to your future. So if you're interested in getting this assessment done before the winter's here, I think it makes common sense for me to give this deal away for free for anybody that calls today. So give me a call,
647-206-6409. Put on your thinking cap and call Daniel and get this wonderful deal. You can't go wrong. 647-206-6409. Thank you, Daniel.
Thanks, Marilyn.
Today, on this first Saturday of the month and the first day of November, we've been encouraged to step out and play. It's a chance to breathe in the fresh air, enjoy nature, and reconnect with the simple pleasures that surround us. And in just a few days, on Tuesday, November 4th, we'll celebrate Use Your Common Sense Day. It's a gentle reminder that while life can be complicated, the best solutions often come from a blend of experience, awareness, and good judgment. So as we stay and play outside today, we're also getting a head start on practicing our common sense, learning to see, to think, and to act with care. Common sense may sound simple, but it's anything but. What feels obvious to one person may be a mystery to another. Each of us brings our own perspective, shaped by our upbringing, our culture, and our life experience. And it's nothing new. Common sense has been a part of human wisdom for thousands of years. Philosophers like Aristotle and Socrates spoke about the importance of reason and good judgment long before modern science could explain how our minds work. But when they were alive, the entire human population was just a fraction of what it is today. Now, there are more than 8 billion of us, each with unique experiences, beliefs, and perspectives. So what once may have seemed simple when a few voices shared a world has become far, far more complex. Our common sense today must stretch to include a wide variety of experiences and viewpoints. We need to leave room for others to have their version of common sense. And in doing so, we are expanding our own. And yet, there is still something universal about it. It's that quiet inner guide that helps us tell right from wrong, from sense to nonsense, and safety from danger. But here's something worth remembering. The instincts that shaped our early ancestors, their survival instincts, are still alive within us today. They help us stay alert and safe, but they've also planted the seeds of bias. And when we make snap judgments or quick decisions, we're not trying to hurt anyone. We're simply responding to how we're wired. We're trying to protect ourselves. The good news is that we can choose what to do with that awareness. We can recognize bias when it surfaces and replace it with curiosity. Instead of reacting, we can pause and ask questions. That's how we transform instinct into wisdom. And that truly is the foundation of practical common sense. It's up to each of us to identify it, to nurture it, and to use it wisely so we can learn from experience, adapt to new situations, and respond with thought and care rather than impulse. Every time we hear someone say, "Use your common sense," it's not a scolding, it's an opportunity. Because every time we pause to think before acting, we're strengthening our own inner compass. Think about it. We do look both ways before we cross the street, or at least we should. That's common sense in action. And like a muscle, common sense grows stronger the more we use it. It thrives when we listen, when we learn, and when we think things through. We win when we help ourselves navigate life with our common sense. So let's practice it in our daily lives. Let's listen before we speak, ask before we assume, check facts before we share, and be open to the idea that someone else's common sense might simply be different from ours, and that's okay. When we do that, we expand our understanding and help create a world that's a little wiser, a little kinder, and a lot more connected. That's the positive power of common sense. Mark Twain once said, "The problem with common sense is that it's not common practice." Let's turn that around. Let's make it common practice. Each day, we have a chance to do better, to think clearly, to act more kindly, and to let our common sense guide us toward understanding and harmony and good choices. And of course, common sense also reminds us of a few timeless truths. If something sounds too good to be true, it probably isn't true. Free is rarely free. Don't believe everything you read. Be skeptical, because accuracy matters. And when in doubt, seek help from the people you trust. Confirmation and collaboration can help us debunk bias and uncover the truth. That's how we keep ourselves safe, informed, and empowered. Common sense can also be enhanced and strengthened when we seek help from people with more knowledge and experience than our own. And on From a Woman's Perspectives team, we have experts ready to help you when you reach out. Their contact information is on my website, marilyns.ca. Just look under the heading On Radio and you'll see the sponsor expert list. Or you're always welcome to call me directly, Marilyn Weston, at 416-504-6777. So as we play outside today and enjoy the world around us, let's also remember to look within, to find that quiet, sensible voice that's been guiding humanity since the very beginning. It's there to remind us that we can learn from one another, that we can think before we act, and that we can shape a world rooted in understanding, respect, and balance. Common sense. And as always, remember that you don't have to figure it out all alone. The From a Woman's Perspective team is here to help you make sense of life's choices, big and small. Thank you to the healthcare workers, service providers, and caregivers. Thank you to Duncan, Ian, and the production team. Thank you to the From a Woman's Perspective's team of experts. And thank you to you for joining us today. And a special thank you to those of you who go beyond this day and take action to cultivate your common sense and use it well. And now, the show is almost over, but please plan to join me and your team here again next Saturday morning at 8 here on Zoomer Radio. Goodbye for now, and please play safely, enjoy the outdoors, and also be kind and curious, because every thoughtful step that we take makes the world a little brighter and better. So please, don't hesitate. Do use your common sense and develop it. You'll be glad that you did. Bye-bye.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.